I know it's
time.
Oh, yes, it is.
Time.
Yeah.
Time.
To make this
world
yeah.
a better place.
Yes, it is. It is time again for It Is Time. It's time to make this world a better place. And there's a way to do that. And it's simply by, you know, the word tells us that we could live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And by lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting and making supplication in prayer, we can have things happen that wouldn't normally happen in the name of Jesus. My name is Ed Gutfeld. I'm glad you're with us. We are here with a special broadcast. Very important day today. This broadcast is being made early, so we don't know what the outcome will be. But today there's going to be a vote in the United Nothings, or the United Nations. Some people call it the United Nothing, the UN. And because there's so much that doesn't really change the world to a better way, and that's why they call it nothing. But the United Nations is going to receive a vote, possibly, as early as today. The Palestinian Authority is trying to press for a vote on statehood. And there is a hot button issue whether the Palestinians should have a state or not. And we know one thing, that whatever does happen, whatever result does come out, that the land that God gave Abraham from the very beginning belongs to the nation of Israel, and Israel has a right to exist. Whatever comes, whatever decision is made, that's what we're praying will be the outcome, that this land that belongs to Israel will be protected. And so we have to pray and that the proper decisions are made, and that our president and that those are in authority in the U.S. do what's right in the sight of God and do what's right in the sight of the promise of God. Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, "Get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And of course, when he was brought to the land, which we now call Israel, the Lord said, "Lift up your eyes and behold all the plain." And he said, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you stand, where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see. To thee will I give it, and to your seed forever. And I'll make your seed as the dust of the earth." Oh. Then he said, "Arise, walk through the land, the length of it, the breadth of it, for I will give it to you." And that land belongs to the seed of Abraham. And the seed of Abraham, of course, the ultimate seed of Abraham was Jesus of Nazareth. And so we thank God for that. There's a song that David Ingalls wrote. This is a teaching show. The songs we pick are songs that can lift the scriptures out of off the book and bring it into our hearts and into our minds. And so that's what we've chosen. And this is called "The Seed of Abraham" out of Genesis 13.
Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you now stand, north, south, east, and west. I'll give you all the land. To thy seed forever, God promised Abraham. I will make thy faith seed number sand. And I'm of the seed of Abraham, and his blessing rests on me. I'm of the seed of Abraham, I'm not moved by you going out and bless you coming in. Even the length and breadth of where your foot has been. Fruitful I will make thee, and thy seed after thee. In their generations I'll bless exceedingly. And I'm of the seed of Abraham, and his blessing rests on me. I'm of the seed of Abraham, I'm not moved by what I see. Jesus was made a surety, and that's what I believe. He's the seed of Abraham, and his seed remains in me. He's the seed of Abraham, and his seed remains in me.
You know, there may not be a lot of things that we all understand about everything. That's a loaded statement, isn't it? There may not be a lot of things we know about everything, but we know some things about most things that God has spoken on. And there are some things that God has been emphatic on. It's not open to interpretation. It's just what it is. You know, when God says that he created the heaven and the earth, that's not subject to interpretation. God created it. And that's just the way it is. Now, I didn't say that there's not scientific evidence for X, Y, Z and whatever. Sure, that can happen. There's no question about that. But the fact that God created the heavens and the earth, there's no quarrel about that. That's exactly what is happening in the earth, is that God created it to be inhabited, and God created it on purpose. So when God says he creates something, he creates something. So then there are other things that are so emphatic. And one of those things is that God even takes the time to measure out the land that he said he would give to Abraham. And he tells them to look from the place where he stands, northward, southward, eastward, westward. All the land which you see, to you I'll give it, and to your seed forever. Arise, walk through the length of it, the breadth of it, and I will give it to you. And so Abraham was blessed of God, and God gave him that land. And he's telling him in Genesis 15, he says, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abraham begins to fellowship with God, and he believed in the Lord, and the Lord said he accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed in God. Abraham was called the friend of God. He believed in God. And God said, because you believed in me, you're righteous. And I'm going to do something. I'm going to begin something with you in the earth. And Abraham began to believe God. And God said, he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit this land? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took to him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, now listen to this, very important, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall eat, they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And you shall go to your fathers in peace, and shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come there again, and iniquity of the because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So God's telling them, he told Abraham, this is how you're going to know. I'm going to put you in a deep sleep, and I'm going to show you something. Your people are going to go into a foreign land, and they're going to be there for 400 years. They're going to come out with great substance, but you're going to know this, and they're going to know it, and you're going to pass that down, and everybody's going to know it. And the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of the Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And so God tells him, this is where the land is. This is what it is, and this is how it's going to be. And God cut a covenant with Abraham. Yeah, he cut a covenant with Abraham, and he blessed him. This song's called Abraham.
God appeared to Abram when he was 99. Walk before me upright, and you I'll multiply. Furthermore, it's Abraham that your name shall be, because a father of many nations have I made thee. Abraham,
Abraham,
Abraham, friend of God. Abraham, there was righteousness reckoned unto him. Father of nations, Abraham. As Abraham believed God, he was greatly blessed. 'Twas accounted to him for righteousness. So it is to us today, because of faith like him, we which be of faith are blessed like Father Abraham. Abraham,
Abraham,
Abraham, friend of God. Abraham, there was righteousness reckoned unto him. Father of nations, Abraham. The very best. It's our faith in Christ that makes us God's righteousness. Christ who liveth in me makes me what I am, standing in right standing like Father Abraham. Abraham,
Abraham,
Abraham, friend of God. Abraham, there was unto him, Father of nations, Abraham. Abraham,
Abraham,
friend of God. Abraham, there was righteousness reckoned unto him, Father of nations.
Yeah, that's Abraham by David Ingalls. And, you know, God made Abraham the custodian over his blessing. And he became the friend of God. And we know, you can know that God spoke to Abraham by what happened to the people of God in the dream that came true with Abraham, the prophecy that had been written. Even Pharaoh, when they had made slaves out of the Israelites, for 400 years, even Pharaoh knew the fourth generation was coming out. It was written down. He knew that there was a deliverer coming, and that's why they killed all the babies trying to find Moses. They knew there was a deliverer coming. And so the history of God is imprinted in that land. There's no question about it. It's a matter of history. It's not just religion. It's a matter of history. And they tried to kill all the babies. And of course, Moses was hidden in the river, and he was pulled out of the river. That's what the name Moses means, and raised in Pharaoh's house without Pharaoh even knowing where the baby came from. Didn't realize it was a Hebrew baby. But when he grew up, it was time to bring deliverance and the fulfillment of prophecy that God spoke to Abraham. And when God commanded that Moses and the children of Israel prepare a sacrifice, you know, that great Passover night, and it was time to come out. It was time for that prophecy to be fulfilled. And they came out. Praise God. The 10 plagues had come upon Egypt, the 9 plagues. The last one was to come. And they prepared that Passover offering. And suddenly it was redemption time. And God was keeping his word to Moses, which he originally spoke to Abraham. God was keeping his word to Abraham, his friend forever. And so Israel came out of that Egyptian bondage. The Bible said that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Remember that they had chased them out to the Red Sea, and they were going to capture them and say, we're going to bring them back. And so he stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. And all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel crossed, of course, and they began to be excited about God's power. Hallelujah. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. That was from the other side of the Red Sea. And then the sea closed up. And in the 15th chapter, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spoke, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength. He is my song. He's become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God. I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Who is like you? Oh, my God, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And so Moses begins to sing the song of the Lord and begins to speak about God's being a mighty warrior and his strength and his song. And that is the power of God coming out of Moses. And Miriam began to dance, and the people of God began to sing and shout, because God had wrought a mighty victory for them. And that's Aaron Keyes has written a song called The Song of Moses. We're talking about God defending the nation of Israel, about God being the mighty warrior over the nation of Israel. And that's why we're praying in the name of Jesus for that mighty nation to rise up. We have a lot more to come about the nation of Israel, but let's walk with God in this song that Aaron Keyes has written and sing of his faithfulness towards that nation. Glory to God. And even today, God is a mighty warrior and a defender. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, the Lord, our strength and song, highest praise to him belongs. Christ the Lord, our conquering King, your name we raise, your triumph sing. Praise the Lord, our mighty warrior. Praise the Lord, the glorious one. By his hand we stand in victory, and by his name we overcome. Though the storms of hell pursue, and
That's the Song of Moses by Aaron Keyes. And God delivers his mighty people out of the hand of Pharaoh and out of Egypt's bondage. And God is a mighty deliverer. Hallelujah. And he's doing the same today. He's delivering people today. He's the same God. He's the same God of promise. And you know what? He'll be the same God of promise to anybody on planet Earth. Doesn't matter whether you're a Palestinian or whether you're a Ozarkian from the Ozarks, or you're from Antarctica, if you're from Russia, Mexico, it doesn't matter. God loves the whole world. And there just happens to be this conflict in the Middle East. And it's been there ever since Cain killed Abel. And there's been strife in the human race ever since the fall, when Adam and Eve committed high treason and sold out to Satan. The Bible said sin has been at our door, and but we should have dominion over it. And let God be God. Let God be the king. Let God decide the things that God has decided. But not everybody believes the written word of God. Not everybody believes the promises of God. So there are wars and rumors of wars. We desire to have and we can't obtain. Therefore, we have wars. That's what James said. We can't control our lusts and our desires, so we have hatred. And but the nation of Israel has been under assault ever since God said, "You're blessed. You're blessed." And every hand that has tried to find itself in that golden cup has found itself fighting against God and losing. And that's just a fact of history. All you have to do is study it out. If you fight against the golden pot of Israel, you're going to lose. And so our prayers are for peace in the Middle East. Our prayers are for some kind of a solution that God could bring about, where the people of God, the apple of his eye, the nation of Israel, would not have to give up their land. That's been promised to them. But Zechariah said that Israel would be a cup of trembling to the whole earth. And that's what's happening right now. Israel has become a cup of trembling to the whole earth. But God has a plan for that nation. And somebody said, well, they're a backslidden people. And they're not serving God the way they have been ordained to from Scripture. And they've walked away from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, they haven't completely. And God has brought them back since 1948. Israel became a sovereign nation again. 1967, Jerusalem became the principal city, the capital city. God says that he'll be as the dew to Israel, that he shall grow as the lily and cast forth its roots as Lebanon. And God wants to heal their backsliding and love them freely. And so there's a cry of the people to come back, O Israel, come back from your backslidden state. Come back and worship the Lord your God. There's a song by Lamb, and you can make this a prayer and stand in faith with the nation of Israel, that like the church, oftentimes we get religious and we don't actually serve God. We have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. But would to God that every person that calls upon Jehovah God, that calls upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, serve the Lord with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and strength, and let God be their God again. Hallelujah. Come back. Come back. This is Lamb, a song that speaks of coming back to God, healing their backsliding.
To the Lord your God, for your sins have caused you to stumble. Come, my people, Israel. La 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 la. Come back to the Lord.
our guilt, grant us favor. To stumble, come my people, Israel. La 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 la.
Yeah, that's Come Back, Come Back by Lamb. There's a great song that that speaks of the refining that the Lord does over his people. God loves his people enough to not leave us on our own. He loves the church. He loves the nation of Israel enough to not leave us on our own. He wants to heal our backsliding. He wants to heal our wicked ways. He wants to comfort his people. He wants to be the King and the Lord over our lives. And in order for him to do that, we have to pay attention. And so we have to think of the things that we have done, and we have to repent of those things and come back to God, as the song was saying, come back, come back, and bring these words with you and say to him, take away our guilt, grant us favor, because God will not allow us to just be an unholy people. He will not allow us to be abandoned. He will not allow us to be orphans. He loves us too much. And if you are the people of God and you love God, let God do a work in you. Open your heart. Lord, we pray for the nation of Israel. We pray, God, for the Palestinians. We pray, God, that the whole Middle East would turn to you, that people would listen to the voice of the Lord our God, that they would listen to the refiner's fire as the heat is turned up and as God is wanting to refine them. Lord God, that they would turn from wickedness and turn from our own ways and turn from our own thoughts. And there are false doctrines that have said that, you know, that Israel is not the chosen of God, that Israel has no right to exist. And people like Ahmadinejad would speak words of falsehood and lies and deceptions that would say that they are to be driven into the sea, that the Palestinians or the Arabs are God's chosen people of Abraham. But no, that's not so. That's not true. That's not real doctrine. God wants to be able to come with his refining fire and cause a purity to come. I know that there are people throughout the Middle East. I know one ministry, Keith Hershey alone, has Bible studies set up underground where nationals are teaching the word of God in Arab countries. And they are life cells instead of death cells. They're not cells that are seeking ways to bomb people and blow people up like some of these organizations like Hamas and so forth. These are life cells where people are teaching the word of God. Yes, they take their life into their hands because they can be killed by teaching God's word. But they have the life of God on the inside of them, the love of God to go to their Arab brothers and sisters, their friends, their cousins, if you will, and tell them about the word of God. One brother that Keith was telling us about was saved on the road. He was actually driving to Damascus with Keith, and his driver got saved on the road to Damascus, like Paul of old, preaching the gospel. Now preaching the gospel. Isn't that beautiful? Well, God's fire was able to refine him. Hallelujah. And that's what God is doing right now in the earth. He's bringing a word of refinement to the Middle East. He's looking for a people he can purify for himself. Glory to God. This is I Will Refine Them by Lamb.
I will refine them as refining silver. I will test them as testing of gold, and they shall call upon and I will answer, for then I will say, this is my people, and they in return shall say, the Lord is my God, so shall it be throughout all the land. Ooh, ooh, ooh. There's a day of coming, which is the Lord's, when plunder's taken away from your midst. For in that day living waters shall flow, and there'll be light in the city of gold. This is my people, and they in return shall say, the Lord is my God, so shall it be throughout all the land. Ooh, ooh. Day of coming, which is the Lord's, when plunder's taken away from your midst. For in that day living waters shall flow, and there'll be light in the city of gold. This is my happy, and they in return shall say, the Lord is my God, so shall it be throughout all the land.
That's Lamb with a song called I Will Refine Them. And God is refining his people. And God is looking for a people that he can purify and cause to be the people that have a heart for him. And right now, it's the gospel age. You know, whosoever may call upon the name of the Lord, it can be, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved, shall be healed. God is picking people from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, even in the out of Hamas and people like that. God is picking people out of there. They're getting saved. Maybe not by the droves, but they're getting saved. There's gospel messengers throughout this world preaching the good news. That's what it is right now. We need to pray. We need to ask God for souls all over the world. You cannot make sense out of everything that's going on in the Middle East. You cannot do it. What we can do, though, as a nation, is we can stand up for the nation of Israel and call for a blessing upon that nation and protection for that nation. They have a right to exist. And those that would hate Israel and those that would drive Israel into the sea say, no, you don't have a right to exist. This is our land. We had it for 2,000 years. Well, God had taken tape measure and measured out the land. And said, to Abraham and his seed shall this promise be, and this land belongs to them. And so God is a comfort to his people, and God is a father over his nation, over that nation. And he is a mighty man of war, and he will fight for them. The scripture says in Hosea 14, O Israel, return unto the Lord your God, for you have fallen by your iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say, take away our iniquity. Receive us graciously so we will render the calves of our lips. I will heal, God says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. My anger is turned away from him. He shall be as the dew unto Lebanon. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. And they that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine, and the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is the fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. You see, God is saying, I want to heal your backsliding. I want to cause you to I just want to love you freely. And that's what God is wanting to do right now. All over the Middle East, but particularly in the nation of Israel. So let's pray. Let's believe God for a mighty outpouring of his spirit and to push back the powers of darkness that would try to steal that land away and try to make Israel homeless again. No, in the name of Jesus. Jesus said that the sign of the end would be the budding of the fig tree. That's the nation of Israel, always referred to as a fig tree. And it has budded. And this is the generation that shall see the coming of the Lord. And the beautiful promise that God would comfort his people would come to pass. Again, this is Lamb. And this is an Israeli group that just sings the heart of what we're talking about and praying for the Middle East. This is called Comfort Ye My People.
No more will you turn to another for help. Turn to yourself, to yourself. Now will you say, as a well
again is Lamb, and that's a song called Comfort Ye My People. And God is the healer of the backslider. God is faithful to his promise. He's going to keep his word, and that's just the way it's going to be. God's going to keep his word to Abraham. God's going to keep his word to Jesus. God's going to keep his word. Not one jot or one tittle shall be broken from the word that God has spoken. The biggest problem in the earth is there is a different interpretation of the book of Genesis. And according to Muhammad and Islam, that, you know, Israel is not the nation of promise. God had promised to Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the lineage is there in Genesis. Muhammad says that the lineage is not that way. The lineage is through Ishmael. And Muslims teach that Ishmael was the one that was offered up by Abraham. They believe that the Holy Bible supports this by its declaration that Abraham offered his only son. Ishmael was Abraham's only son over 13 years, which would make it impossible for Isaac to be the child of sacrifice. But this is wrong. Muslims believe that scribes later corrupted the original reading from Ishmael to Isaac. You see, you have to take away from the Word of God that's been absolutely guarded and protected from false doctrine and false scribes by death. You have to absolutely undermine all of that to believe what you believe. This idea that Ishmael instead of Isaac stems from the idea that the Muslims have a misunderstanding of the phrase only son. It becomes necessary to explain what this phrase exactly means in relation to Isaac. A careful reading of the Bible, though, shows that the phrase is used to affirm Isaac's unique status, a status based on the following, that Isaac was the only promised child of Abraham, a fact that the Quran agrees with in Genesis 17, 15 through 21. Isaac was conceived miraculously to a barren mother and a very aged father, and the Quran agrees with that. God promised that it would be Isaac's descendants who would inherit the land given to Abram. Ishmael had no part in the inheritance and promise given to Isaac through Abraham. And it's because of this that we believe that Isaac is called Abraham's only son, since God himself reckoned him as the child of promise and blessing, an honor never bestowed upon Ishmael. And so it's even more amazing is the fact that the Quran never mentions the name of the sacrificial child. Overzealous people begin to prove that, well, it must have been Ishmael. But no, it never even mentions the child. The Bible does. The Bible mentions the child. Nobody corrupted that. Isaac is the child of promise. The other thing, you know, if you really stop and think about it, who celebrates the feast days? Muslims do not celebrate the feast days. They celebrate their own days. And they've been made up by Muhammad. And but from the beginning, when God instituted the feast day of Passover, when God instituted the feast day of unleavened bread, when God instituted the feast day of first fruits, when God instituted the feast day of Pentecost and the feast day of trumpets and the feast day of atonement and the feast day of tabernacles, and all these feast days that God has instituted, it's the nation of Israel that has kept them ever since time immemorial. Even when in bondage, even when as slaves, they kept these days. And it's been God's story, his story has been written in these people. Oh, they're custodians of God's first promises and God's first covenant. But the day is coming when God will again turn his attention completely over to Israel. Because right now, his attention is on the church and the world and the harvest. We're in an age of grace right now. We're in an amazing time of grace. But the budding of the fig tree has let us know that that time is waning down. And that time is becoming short. And so Satan is trying everything he can to come against the apple of God's eye. And so we must support in prayer the nation of Israel. I'll tell you something. There's something so beautiful and so profound about to happen in the earth. Oh, maybe not this week. Maybe not next year. But, you know, just like when Noah built the ark. That was in his lifetime. And these things can happen in our lifetime. You better believe it. The Bible said, he that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I'll write upon him my new name. Oh, there's a city that God has promised for all his people. John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new," and said unto me, "Write, for those words are true and faithful. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely." Glory to God. "And he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Jerusalem descending. The city of our God. Hallelujah.
The city from the sky. Abraham's dream. And the answer to my cry for those who love Messiah. A kingdom. Citizens are holy, and there's no weeping there. No more songs of sorrow, no more tales of woe. The pain of all the ages, we shall no longer know. Yerushalayim Chadash, all things are made new. As the glory of Yeshua is coming into Yerushalayim Chadash, all
Yeah, there's coming a day where there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, Jerusalem coming, a city coming out of heaven, adorned like a bride for a groom. Glory to God. Father, we thank you so much for the mighty, mighty promises of heaven that are not fairy tales. These are true and steadfast promises that give us reason to be a principled people and not just a people that grab a hold of something here and something there and not just a pragmatic people that we just got to fix our runny nose because it runs. But praise God, we are a people who believe in principles of strength and power that have been benchmarks that have been put there by Father God, and things that we can look at that are sure and steadfast. And they don't just fix our cold, praise God, they bring us health and healing for everything. And Lord, we thank you so much that we're not a people without foundation. We're not a people without an eternal foundation, handed down from generation to generation to generation. We live in such a world that considers itself so progressive that everything is reborn and renewed every single day, and the benchmarks keep moving, and all the foundation stones of our fathers are ripped out and torn out of our consciousness to make way for gobbledygook and psychobabble that does nothing to heal and strengthen a civilization, but takes out every foundation stone upon which to build, because people have determined that certain things are popular today and certain things are okay that are not okay. And when people call wrong right, and people call up down, and people call sin righteousness and righteousness sin, and God becomes a hate monger because he judges sin, then a society has lost its way. But Lord, I thank you for your precious power permeating our very, very psyche and our very spirit being. And everything that we're about cries, "Holy is the Lord," that God has spoken a word. He said, "Light be," and light was. And he created this earth. Know ye that the Lord, it is God, that it is he that has created us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And Lord, we give you the dominion. We give you the omnipotence. We give you the praise that there's one ruler and one lawgiver, and that's our God. And Lord, I thank you. You put it in our hearts to be a people of peace, a people of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that we are kingdom people, that we belong to the kingdom of our God. And I thank you, Father, that we will strike a prayer of faith for Israel, that we will stand with the nation of Israel, and we will pray for the entire Middle East, that it would come to the Lord and know the Lord. And Father, that you would raise up men and women in that area of the world with mighty, mighty vision for souls to be saved, to be about the Father's business. Amen. We thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for favor in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, you know, we put together a team. I believe God put something on our hearts to edify the world. It doesn't matter what part of the world you're from. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter what group you belong to. You can be a person of edification. Hello, this is Ed Gutfeld, and I want to announce to you that there's a new team in town. It's Team Edify. We're running out the bullies of fear, doubt, and despair because Team Edify is taking over. This team is called to build up, strengthen, and cause to overcome. We're calling for 1 million men and women, boys and girls, to lock arms and declare the word of edification in our homes, schools, on the job, in the church, and throughout the marketplaces of the world. We are a simple yet mighty team who have made a decision that each and every day we will receive edification for our lives, bring edification to those around us, and give edification away to someone new each and every day. As a team member, you will receive our unique and colorful Edify button, a lifetime membership card, daily prayer, and access to daily edification through videos, testimonies, and social network. To join the Edify revolution, simply log on to edifyforlife.org and follow the simple steps. We live in troubled times, full of deception, lies, and depression. But we can make a difference bearing the glad tidings of edification. Again, the website is edifyforlife.org. Join in today. Be one in a million at edifyforlife.org. That's edifyforlife.org.
Yeah, we thank God for that, and we thank God for your participation. We're so thankful for the men and women that listen to this podcast and the boys and girls. And Father, we're just so grateful to have friends that we can count on, friends that can help us. Lord, I thank you for these million people that they rise up and do their bidding. Hallelujah. Do what the Lord would have them do. Become part of the team and help us reach 1 million people to edify the earth, to help bring back Jesus and do something great in the kingdom of God. Well, praise the Lord. That's been another show, another broadcast, another podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Let's keep praying for the nation of Israel. The Bible said that in the book of Psalms, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Say, peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For our brethren and companions' sake, we now say, peace be within thee. So make that your prayer, part of your prayer time, and realize something, that it's time to rise up. It's time to declare the greatness of our God. It's not time to put things off. It's not time to put things on a shelf. It's time to be about the Father's business. Oh, yes, it is. And declare to the world that God is great, and now is the time. Amen? It is time.